Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and every week our colleagues from the Straits Times talk us through some of the biggest headlines coming out of Singapore for the week. Now, this week it was announced that from as early as November, a new system will be rolled out to provide healthcare for migrant workers here. Healthcare providers are being sought to set up and run 6 medical centres across the island that cater exclusively to migrant workers. Another 3 centres will be located within large purpose-built dormitories, removing the need for their residents to travel to seek medical care. To find out more about this new network of migrant worker clinics that's going to be set up here in Singapore, we're joined now by Lim Yan Liang, and he's the assistant news editor at The Straits Times. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, evening. Thanks for having me.
Always good to catch up with you. So, let's start off. Can you tell us, what do we know about these new medical facilities that are going to be rolled out, that are going to be set up? Can you share more? I mean, we know that healthcare providers are being sought to set them up and run them, but what else do we know?
So, under the new system, from as early as this November, healthcare will be split up into 6 geographical sectors for the migrant workers, so they can seek care from close to where they stay or where they work. So it's kind of like a polyclinic system, but catered specifically to migrant workers. So in each of these 6 sectors, there will be a regional medical center. And in some of the sectors with very large dorms, there will be on-site medical centers. So Manpower Minister Dr. Tan Sin Leng has described this as a hub-and-spoke model. So the smaller medical centres will be supported by the regional medical centres. So there are 13 existing centres that have been up and running since last August, catering to migrant workers. But this will make access to medical care more permanent for at least the next 3 to 5 years.
So before these centres and before the 13 that you mentioned from last year, what was available before? I'm just wondering, you know, why now? Is this on the back of everything that's been happening with COVID-19?
Yes. So before last August, what happened prior to the pandemic was, of course, when a worker falls ill, they go to a GP or a designated clinic to seek medical help. But it was very ad hoc. Then once the outbreak in the dorms occurred and following the start of the pandemic, the interagency task force was created to clear the dorms of infections. And regional healthcare clusters such as the National Healthcare Group, SingHealth, were deployed at the dorms to look after the workers' health. So that was when I think the government realized from the experiences of the medical professionals who were working close up with the workers day after day that there was a gap in the care for these migrant workers. So again, Manpower Minister Dr. Tan said as much during the budget debate this year, that there is a gap in the frontline care for migrant workers and that the government is looking at how to address this in a long-term and sustainable fashion.
Yan Liang, I understand that other than catering to migrant workers' healthcare needs, this ecosystem will also provide proactive public health surveillance and curb disease outbreaks. Is that correct?
Yes. So that is one of the key intentions behind this initiative. This ecosystem of new clinics is intended also to reduce the risk of future outbreaks at the dorms through active public health surveillance of the migrant worker population. So this means that the medical centres will be equipped and they will cater to the swabbing needs or medical investigation needs of the migrant worker population. There will also be healthcare associates who are fluent in the workers' languages and who are expected to teach workers things like basic hygiene and infection prevention and control, on top of how to keep healthy, when to take their medicines, and so on, in their languages.
When you mentioned language, it was a key statistic that I picked out from your article as well, and that was in 2020, a survey of, I think it was 427 doctors here published in the Singapore Medical Journal. It said that more than 9 in 10 respondents cited that language and cultural barriers are key factors affecting the care of migrant workers here, that or the care that migrant workers receive. So does that kind of move to the importance of this initiative?
Yes. So doctors have told us, especially those that have been in close touch with the migrant worker community over the past year or so, that migrant workers have provided feedback that when they can speak to someone in their own language, whether it is Tamil or Mandarin or Bangladeshi, that it really reassures them. It helps them to be calmer, meet their mental and psychological needs, and also to help them understand what are their medical rights, what their insurance covers, and so on.
Okay, so if all of this goes to plan, what might be some of the biggest concerns moving forward, and what do you think is going to be happening next? I mean, it seems that the COVID-19 situation, we haven't had any cases within the dorms. I think it's been for the last 2 weeks or so. So what are you going to be looking out for on this front next?
So I think that, as you mentioned, there having not been any dorm cases in the past weeks, and yet the government has push forward with this plan. I think it makes good on the promise, after having detected certain gaps in the medical care of the workers, to improve on and then level up the migrant workers' access to care while keeping such care affordable to them. But I think, as with many things in life, it boils down to the dollars and cents. So we know that migrant workers are very price sensitive to medical bills. They are very afraid of being saddled with large bills. And there's also an uneven power dynamic between them and their employers, who are expected actually to take care of their workers' bills. So going forward, I think it will be we will be keeping tabs on how the government keeps medical care for migrant workers affordable.
Okay, well, Yan Liang, thank you so much for sharing all of those updates with us as well.
My pleasure.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Lim Yan Liang, and he's the assistant news editor at The Straits Times. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.